Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot On-Site Training. Need training for your Drupal web team? Lullabot's staff of expert Drupal trainers can come on-site to your place of work with a curriculum customized just for you. Past training clients include Stanford University, Arizona State University, Best Buy, The Economist, Popular Science, the U.S. Department of Commerce, Turner Broadcasting, and many more. We've trained thousands of new Drupal developers, and we'd be happy to get your team up and running with the knowledge they need to make your Drupal project a success. Visit lullabot.com/training or call 877-LULLABOT for more information.
My name is Greg Knadison, or Greggles, at Knadison on Twitter. And the way that I got involved with security in Drupal is that I took over co-maintainership of the PathAuto module, and there was a security vulnerability found in it like a week after I started to take it over or help out with co-maintenance. And so I, you know, worked through that issue and started to learn about secure coding practices in Drupal, and they seemed very interesting. And so I just kind of went from there and got more and more involved in the security team, and have been working with the security team for a couple of years now. And then about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, my book about security, Cracking Drupal, was published. So that's, I guess, going through the whole gamut from introduction to writing the book about it, and now do tons of presentations about security as part of the DrupalCons, Drupal Camps, and at Do It With Drupal with this year also, which was a great event.
Security is one of those things where you want to be a little bit transparent that it happened, but not until you kind of come up with a fix. So maybe you just talk about kind of like the process that Drupal as an organization has set up in order to deal with security.
Sure. So there's a couple different philosophies on disclosure within the security community. And what the Drupal project follows is what's referred to often as responsible disclosure, where we urge people to report things directly to the security team and keep it confidential. And then after we found a fix or some way to mitigate the problem, we will announce it as broadly as we can to let people know about the problem. So we've got email notifications, Twitter, RSS, the update module, which is in Drupal now, all those different methods to let people know about it. And I like to think about it as be really quiet and then be really loud. And that's the best way to keep site owners safe so that you're alerting people who are vulnerable as soon as they have something that they can actually do.
And so talk a bit about, like, why did you sit down to write a whole book about security? What were the holes that you saw that needed to be filled?
What I found shortly after joining the security team and kind of becoming more aware of the security issues in Drupal is that they are often the exact same mistake over and over, and we see just the exact same patterns repeated across many different modules. And each security vulnerability requires, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 hours by a volunteer from the Drupal security team. So we have released over 100 security advisories for contributed modules last year. Multiply that out by 5 to 10 hours for each one, that's a lot of wasted time. And so we said, well, rather than being reactive and just fixing things as they're reported to us, we should be more proactive on education to reduce the number of vulnerabilities. If you look at just the raw numbers, it looks like, in fact, they've increased, and so maybe our education in writing this book was a failure, but I think that that has more to do with the number of modules and the number of people who are looking at the code to find vulnerabilities. It's, of course, a very hard thing to look at the metrics and try to draw any conclusions from them, but it was really about being proactive with education to stem the flow of all the vulnerabilities and advisories that we have to send out.
And when we look at security, what do you see as sort of like the next steps or what's on the horizon for, you know, the future of security?
I think that there's a lot of intersections between security and user experience and developer experience. So one of the things that's really brilliant, in my opinion, about the Drupal API is that if you're using the Drupal API correctly, then your code is probably safe. So the T function, which handles translation, or the L function, which makes URLs, will automatically filter the URL for bad protocols, and it will filter the label of that URL for JavaScript or anything like that. And so by providing this kind of you're safe by default if you use the API mentality, we, I think, can be more safe than systems that don't have that similar concept. So the database API in Drupal 7 has been rewritten in a lot of ways that makes it more confusing if you're familiar with SQL by default, but it is perhaps perhaps more approachable to somebody who's got a developer mind frame and doesn't know databases. And the best thing about it is that it handles some of the token replacement automatically. And I hope that we will see SQL injections fall with Drupal 7 contributed modules. There was a report released by Senzik, a just kind of general web application security company, a little while ago, and they ranked SQL injection as the number one problem that they've identified on the internet. For Drupal, it's the third or fourth most common problem that we have. So I think that shows that our APIs, by being safe by default, have eliminated that SQL injection problem. Not eliminated, but reduced it. And so what we need now are more tools like that to make it easier to get rid of XSS problems, make it easier to get rid of, the other big one is cross-site request forgeries. So Ben Jevons, who's also on the security team, has a proposal to make it a lot easier to protect against cross-site request forgeries.
Okay, and you had mentioned that you have a couple of announcements that you're going to be making here at DrupalCon. What's the big news that you have to share with everybody?
Sure, so I guess the first one is related to security. We just finished up a basically 6-month effort to put together a security white paper about Drupal. It was a ton of analysis that Ben was the lead author on it, and he's done a ton of analysis of the vulnerabilities over the last years, and also looking at the processes that we use in the Drupal security team and the Drupal community for security to try to say, like, where are we following best practices? Where is there some room for improvement? And answer the fundamental question that's on a lot of IT decision makers' minds, is Drupal secure enough for me to deploy it in my enterprise or in my organization? And we hope that this will help spur the adoption of Drupal. It's worth mentioning that we had a lot of great sponsors on it, and I'm probably going to forget some of them, so I'll just mention the two top-tier sponsors, Examiner.com and Innovay Sidec, were the two top-tier sponsors on that report. DrupalSecurityReport.org is where you can download it and see all of the many great sponsors who were involved and the reviewers who helped with the report.
And so it's a white paper that you intend for other people who may be skeptical about Drupal's level of security to be able to look at and read, I guess.
Exactly. You know, I get, as a member of the security team, as somebody who talks about security a lot, I get a lot of emails and phone calls from people saying, hey, I was just talking to the CIO of blah, blah, blah organization, and they're really concerned about security of open source. Or somebody told them that open source can't be secure. Or somebody told them Drupal is just horrible on security. And the idea is that, you lay this PDF on them, and they'll read through it, and it will hopefully comfort them that, in fact, Drupal's process is as good or better than a lot of organizations, and that we're serious about security.
Okay, and finally, we have a big theme here recently is training and getting people trained up, and you're part of Growing Venture Solutions that's starting to do training, and maybe you just talk about that and what's on the horizon for that.
Sure. So we've been doing training for a little while now and are continuing to do that. I think that one interesting thing about training, that a next logical step beyond training, is certification. And certification is a topic that has been bandied about in the Drupal community. Should the Drupal Association provide it? Should Lullabot provide it as one of the pioneers in the training space? Or maybe Acquia will provide the certification. And there's a big cost associated with developing a certification program. Who administers it? All these different kinds of questions. And our philosophy has always been that the best certification for a Drupal themer, developer, or site builder is their profile on Drupal.org, their involvement with the community. And for me, when I'm trying to hire somebody or if I'm recommending somebody to a client, I'm going to look at their Drupal.org profile first and analyze that. And because I'm in the community, I can look at that and I can draw conclusions from it, but it's a very opaque page if you are an HR person or you're from the outside. So what we've done is we've done some analysis using an algorithm that has several different characteristics to it, and distilled it down to a number, 1 through 11. It's this website we're launching called Certified to Rock, and you just enter in your Drupal.org username, and it will let you know 1 to 11 how much you rock. It starts at 1, nobody's a 0, everybody's a rock star.
Okay, well, great, thanks.
You bet, thank you.